That's for my cue to dance. That's not happening. This is a Baptist church after all, y'all. 2 Timothy, if you guys want to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, that's where we're going to be today. If you're a guest, we want to say thank you for joining us. So glad you're here with us today. My name is Josiah Presley. I'm the student minister here at North Point, and so I am not our I'm not the pastor. I'm not the primary guy who's up here preaching. That's Eric Harris, and Eric and his family, they are out this week, some family vacation time, and so they're with in-laws and others, so be praying for Eric as he's with extended family, but I know they're having a great time, and just super glad, though, for the opportunity to be with you all today as we talk about Thanksgiving. So this week and next week, I'll have the privilege of being able to open God's Word with you. And so we're kind of doing this two-part Thanksgiving series. And we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1, just looking at the first part of what's happening here in this letter written by Paul. As we get going, though, a question I want you to think about for a moment for yourself. If you want to share it with your neighbor, you can. But think about this for just a moment in your own life. What was the last thing that you thanked God for? What was the last thing you thanked God for? Or what were the circumstances surrounding that opportunity or that time when you gave thanks to God? When was the last time you thanked God for something? Just think about it. Just the last thing that you thanked him for, right? Think about it for just a minute. So I'm about to share the last thing I thanked God for, and it's about to show probably a little too much about me, but you know what? Honesty, right? So at the time that I was writing this sermon, putting it together, I thought through this question. What was the last thing that I thanked God for? And you know what the last thing I thanked God for at the time when I wrote this sermon? That day, I had opened up my Qdoba app, and I had found out that I had not only one, but four free entrees. And I was praising God. God, I'm Qdoba rich. Thank you so much. I was like, I had just been talking to Bethany. I called Bethany. I was like, Bethany, did you know we had not one, but four Qdoba rewards, right? And I'm not even like a huge Qdoba fan. But you know what? Free food. It's like, I mean, like, that's arriving, right? And I don't know about you. Surely, when you thought about this, and hopefully, as I reflect, hopefully I've thanked God for other things since then in my week. And I don't know what came to your mind just now when you thought about the last thing that you thanked God for. But was it something along those lines? And here's what I mean about something along those lines. How often is our thanksgiving to God wrapped up and good things we receive from God? A gift we receive from him. Or a way we see him work in a positive way. Like, how often is our thanksgiving couched in terms of positive things? Like having lots of burritos or bowls, if you're that kind of a person, right? Or coming out of positive circumstances. God, I got this promotion. Thank you so much. God, we saw you do this work in our family. Thank you so much. God, we see you working in our kids' life. Thank you so much. God, we saw you show up and come through in this way. Thank you so much. And those are all great and amazing and awesome things that we should always and consistently be thanking God for. And we're entering this Thanksgiving season, which is a time when we're all going to be thinking through these things over the next week, right? And we'll continually thank God for the blessings in our lives. But what about when there's not blessings? What about when there's difficulty? What about when the last time we could think of something going right or going well, we can't remember? Like, can we give God thanks then? What does that Thanksgiving look like? Should there be Thanksgiving? And one of the things that I hope we'll see this morning as we look through this passage in 2 Timothy is we're going to talk about this idea of thanking God in difficult situations. And when we look in 2 Timothy to set it up and what's happening here, this is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a guy named Timothy. This is his second letter he's written to him, right? I've given you no new information than what you know, right? But this is the last letter we know of written by Paul. And he's writing while he's sitting in prison. He's awaiting trial. and ultimately is going to lead to his execution. And so Paul, from this difficult situation that he's in, he sets down to write a letter to Timothy. And we're going to look at this in just a minute. Timothy, his son in the faith. And Timothy also is in a difficult situation. If we look through these letters, we find that Timothy, he's a young pastor in the city of Ephesus. Timothy, he's faced divisions among the people in his church, particularly divisions among leading women in his church. Timothy, he's faced threats from false teachers within the church. We find out that Timothy, he probably had some sort of health complications. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, we see in that first letter that Paul writes to him, Paul tells him, he tells Timothy, he says, you should drink some wine, not just water, to help with your frequent stomach problems. And we find out that he has some sort of health issues, whether it's stress-induced or because of some other health issue. We see something is leaving him physically weak. And in the midst of these situations, of where Paul's sitting and where Timothy's sitting, neither circumstances any of us would desire, any of us would want, Paul, he takes the time to encourage Timothy. He takes the time to thank God for Timothy and thereby invite Timothy to also give thanks to God. And so as we look at this text this morning, I want us to set our minds and our hearts on specific ways to be thankful this Thanksgiving season. Specific ways to be thankful by looking at the example of what Paul thanks God for in Timothy's life, but also the encouragement for us to respond appropriately this season as we see how Paul encourages Timothy to respond in light of everything that God has done in Timothy's life. And here's a big idea we're going to see this morning. I hope we'll see this together. It's this: even in difficulty, there's much to be thankful for. Even in difficulty, there's much to be thankful for. Thanksgiving doesn't just have to be for in the good times, or in the times when we're feeling God's blessing, or in the times when everything seems to be going well. But even in difficulty, we can find thanksgiving. And we're going to see two reasons why today. So let's look. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 and then come back through. It says this in 2 Timothy 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. It says, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. It says, as I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. It says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. It says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. When we open up a letter in the New Testament, kind of standard to look at this letter is at the very beginning, you're going to see identification of the sender, in this case, Paul, the recipient, in this case, Timothy. And there'll be talk, there'll be discussion of their relationship, right? Like why they have a relationship, what it looks like. And if we look just in these first few verses, we see so much about this relationship between Paul and Timothy. This closeness of relationship as that of a father to a son. Paul is not Timothy's actual biological father, but we see that Paul has adopted Timothy as his son in the faith, a spiritual son. We see Paul and Timothy's shared concern for one another. It's not just that Paul cares for Timothy like a father caring for a son, but Timothy also cares for Paul. It tells us that in verse 4, he harkens back to this memory he has of Timothy literally crying tears over Paul because of the situation he's in. We see this care for one another, this relationship between the two of them. And as they remember, as they recall their relationship, who they are in relationship to one another, we then see typically in these letters, we see a movement to thanksgiving from Paul. where he will thank God for certain things and realities, whether it's about Timothy or whether it's about a church as he writes a letter to a church. But we see the intensity of Paul's care for Timothy. It's so evident. And as he addresses Timothy, he points to two ways that he consistently thanks God concerning Timothy's life. He tells him, he says, as I pray for you night and day, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, every single time that Timothy comes to Paul's mind, he's praying for him and he's thanking God for him. He thanks God for Timothy in two specific ways. The first way we see is this. He thanks God for God's provision in Timothy's faith. He thanks God for God's provision in Timothy's faith. Look at it in verse 5. He says, I am reminded, says, of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. Two things we see about this faith of Timothy's. First thing we see is this, that it's a sincere faith. Timothy, he had a faith that was real, that was proven. His faith was, the way this word's translated, literally without hypocrisy. And even though, as we read through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, even though Timothy appears to face fear and maybe self-doubt, that we'll see, his faith was evident to Paul, who knew him so well. He had a real faith, and this is so important because we hate fakes, don't we? We hate insincerity, hypocrisy. I think about it like this. I use this illustration with the youth on Wednesday night, so students, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry that I'm not more original, but this is what we have. A little more about me, I love Facebook Marketplace. I think it's one of God's greatest gifts to humanity. Facebook, not so much. Facebook Marketplace, I love it, right? I'm constantly getting things off of it. And so last year, I had a pair of Birkenstocks, or these fancy sandals that Bethany got me our first year of marriage. Absolutely loved them, but they're kind of expensive, right? And they had finally worn out, and so I determined I need a new pair of Birkenstocks. And so I got on the old Facebook Marketplace, and last year, I found a pair of Birkenstocks on Facebook. I found these pairs of Birkenstocks on Facebook. Now, contrary to what my dad says, these are not women's shoes. But I found these Birkenstocks on Facebook, and I got them on a good deal, right? I was so proud of them. You see, they say Birkenstock on them. And I brought them home. I'm like, Bethany, check out these Birkenstocks. I got on this great deal. And you know what Bethany did? She gave me just one of those. Wives in the room, you'll know this, right? She gave me just one of those eyebrow raises. You know what I mean? One of those, huh, right? And like the one eyebrow goes up kind of thing. And she said, we'll see. And I was like, no, these are real. Look at them. Look. And you know, I Googled all this stuff to show them. Look, they're real and they're awesome. And so I started wearing them. And about a week into wearing them, I was like, there's something a little off on these. About 2 weeks into wearing them, I'm like, these are not breaking in the way Birkenstocks are supposed to break in. And then they started falling apart on me. Like the soles, they're ripping out of them. Like they're like soup. They became uncomfortable. And you know what I realized? I'd gotten a pair of fakes. I paid more than I should have for them, right? I'd gotten a pair of fake Birkenstocks. Now, here's the reality. The problem isn't that they're a knockoff of Birks, right? Like, people, you like knockoff clogs, you like saving some money, go for it. They're great. That's not the problem, right? What's the problem? These are advertised as real. These are advertised as actual Birkenstocks. So, you know what? I had expectations that these would perform a certain way, that they'd be so comfortable in a certain way, that they'd break in a certain manner. I paid more money than I should have for them because I thought they were Birkenstocks. And when I found out they were fake, I was so mad. I haven't worn these for a year. Because they're also uncomfortable. They got really uncomfortable too. And here's the reality. We all understand that. We all recognize that, right? It's not that they were different. It's not that they weren't the real thing. It's that they claimed to be the real thing. But how often is that true in our lives? We aren't what we claim to be. Now, I'm not saying we live out our faith perfectly. We can't live out our faith perfectly. But Paul, he looks at Timothy here and he says, I thank God for you, Timothy, because of your sincere faith, because you live it out. Even in the midst, and we'll see it a little later, even in the midst of fear and being uncertain and not knowing what's going to happen and not sure if you're up to the task, you still live out your faith. And he praises God for it. And I think a question we should just stop and ask ourselves for a moment here is this. Is your faith sincere? Is my faith sincere? Is it a real faith, a faith that's truly lived out? And Paul, he praises God for the sincerity of Timothy's faith. But he also points to, looking at the second part of this, a faith that was passed down. In Acts 16, if we were to turn there, we're introduced to Timothy. And we find out that he's half Jewish, half Greek. He had a believing grandmother and mother, Lois and Eunice. But he had a Greek father who was understood to not be a believer. And here, Paul praises God for this faithful mother and grandmother in his life who raised him in the faith, who taught him the faith, who passed that faith down to him. Praise God for the faithful ones who have gone before us and have faithfully passed the faith on down to us. Think about this in your life for a minute. You are here today because someone passed the faith down to you. Or maybe you being here today is someone currently passing the faith down to you. When you think about in your life, who faithfully passed their faith down to you? That's today brought you to where you're at in your faith. We have an opportunity this Thanksgiving season, maybe. Maybe you have an opportunity to be around some of those people this Thanksgiving season. I'll get to go down on Wednesday and be around my father and my mother, the greatest ones who have passed their faith down to me. Hopefully you get to be around some of those people this week. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to thank God for them and to thank them directly for the faith that they've passed down to you. But a question we have to ask ourselves too is this: who are you faithfully passing your faith down to? Like, who in your life right now are you faithfully passing the faith down to? And again, maybe this Thanksgiving season, you'll have the opportunity to pass the faith down to a family member, a friend, as you're gathered around the dinner table. Will you be willing to do that? Who passed their faith down to you? Who are you passing your faith to? Paul thanks God for his provision of faith in Timothy's life. But he also, listen to this, this is the second part of what he thanks God for. He thanks God for God's provision over Timothy's fear. He thanks God for his provision over Timothy's fear. Look at what it says in verse 6 through 7. It says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." It says in verse 7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." The word here translated as fear can literally be translated as fearfulness, timidity, cowardice. Like, remember, Timothy here, he's in a difficult situation. Paul is in a difficult situation. But Paul, he's not going to miss the opportunity to remind and encourage Timothy that we do not have to live in fear. And for that, Paul's thankful. Like, Timothy's facing disputes, false teachers, people looking down on him, potential health issues, rising persecution from Rome, the prospect of losing his father in the faith through Paul. Like, there's so much to cause Timothy to fear to keep him from doing what he's been called to do in Christ. Paul here is specifically talking about Timothy's calling to preach the gospel as a pastor. But I think it can extend to so much further than this, to the calling that God has placed on Timothy's life to represent Jesus to around him. In the same way for each and every one of us, and there's so much happening in Timothy's life that could so easily cause him to give into the fear and be unwilling to speak the words that need to be spoken, to step in the situations that need to be stepped into. There could be so much to cause Timothy to say, "This is too much, it's not enough, I'm stepping out, I'm gone." But Paul, he reminds Timothy of this. You do not have a spirit of fear. But listen to what he tells him. Listen to what God's provided for him over Timothy's fear. He says, "You've been given a spirit of power." In situations where Timothy may feel helpless and like he can do nothing, Paul reminds him of the power at work in him. Christian, we don't have to go through life powerless. Because we have the very living God of creation inside of us, empowering us if you belong to him. And what God calls us to do, there's nothing that can keep him from accomplishing it in and through us. We've been given a spirit of power. Number two, though, we've been given a spirit of love. He says you've been given a spirit of love. When attacked and turned on by others, we don't have to retaliate in anger and hate or out of fear and self-preservation. Instead, we respond in love and care for others. You've not been given a spirit of fear, but one of power, one of love. You've been given a spirit, number three, of self-control, he tells them. Instead of letting fear control what we do and lead us to rash and wrong decisions, which we've all been there, and fear of lost control, have made a wrong decision, have made a rash decision. Instead of being controlled by that fear, we can instead be controlled by the Spirit to make wise and right decisions in the midst of chaos. I think about this fear, and I think about just a few weeks ago. Julia, my two-year-old, she woke up in the middle of the night screaming. Now, she wakes up crying in the night sometimes, but this time it was different. We could hear it escalated so quickly. She's just screaming in her room. And so I run in, it's about 2:30 in the morning, I run into her room, and she's sat up in her crib. She's still, well, actually she went to a big girl bed this week, so we're making progress. But she's sitting up in her crib, and she's holding the rails so tightly. And the second I walk into her room, she looks at me and she says, "Daddy, hug me." And so I run in and I grab her and I pick her up. And the second I pick her up, she clutches me and she said, "Daddy, take me out of here. He's trying to get me." And she points to the living room. And so we go out and we sit in the living room. And she's I can feel her whole body trembling as she's just holding on to me. I'm just sitting in the living room holding her. Bethany comes in a little bit later with Audrey, our 9-month-old, because it's time for Audrey to eat. So we're all four up in the house. And Julia goes, "Who's that? Who's that?" It's like, "It's just mama. It's just mama. It's just mama." She'd been having a nightmare. She'd been having a night terror. And in that moment, she just needed me to be there with her. Like, she had this problem. And here's a great thing. That's a problem that Daddy can fix, right? That's the problem, that my presence being there, we hugged, we sang our songs, and we prayed, and we went back to bed, and everything was just fine. But she woke up in so much fear and timidity and just terror from this nightmare. And how often do we sometimes maybe feel like we're living in that same terror, that same nightmare? But the worst thing is, it's not a nightmare. It's real life. And whatever we do, we can't escape it. Whatever that fear is. And it can be so easy to let the fear set in. But believer, follower of Jesus, we don't have to do that. Because our Father has given us his very presence. That whenever, whatever circumstance it might be, whatever scary thing it is that God might be calling you to do, that you're not sure if you can do it whatsoever, he doesn't say you have to do it alone. He gives you his very presence, his very Spirit. We have a Heavenly Father who gives us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, of self-control. The same self-control that caused Jesus to say in the garden, "Not my will, Father, but your will be done." The same kind of love that sent Jesus to the cross to die for your sins and for my sins. And the same kind of power that rose Jesus from the grave 3 days later to prove he'd beaten sin and death. That same self-control, love, power, it resides inside of every single one of you who belongs to Jesus. And Paul says, remind yourself of this reality, Timothy. You are facing circumstances you're not sure of, difficulties, and a calling that is going to cost you everything, but it's worth it, and you don't have to do it alone or out of fear, because the living God resides inside of you. And for that, you can thank and you can praise God no matter what circumstance you're in. Believer, God doesn't just save us and secure a future for us. He empowers us in the present to live how he's called us to live. And because of this, back to our big idea, even in difficulty, there's so much to be thankful for. Because of the relationship we can have with Christ, and because of the power that we receive from Christ. So as we wrap up this morning, just a couple questions I'd ask us to think about. I'd ask you to think about in your life. First is this: where is your faith this morning? Do you have a real, genuine faith? I'm talking about the faith that we just talked about. Not one of having to live in fear, but one of being able to live with self-control, with power, with love, because of what Christ has done and is doing in your life. Do you have a genuine faith this morning? Do you belong to Jesus? And if the answer is no, maybe today, this morning, needs to be the time where you get that right. Where you turn to Jesus, you recognize your need for him to change your life, to transform your life, to be Lord of your life. And this morning, that's what you'd like to do. You'd say, I would give you lordship of my life, Jesus. And that's you this morning. We'll offer you an opportunity here in just a few moments after we pray and we stand and sing our song of invitation. That's an opportunity for you to answer God's call to salvation this morning in faith. Or second question I'd ask you, believer, what has God placed before you that you're fearful about moving forward on? Like in your life today, in these moments right now, is there something that you believe God is calling you to do, he's equipped you to do, or he's saying, hey, this is what it looks like to live in a relationship with me, and you are terrified by the fear of the consequences of living your life out in that way? Are there circumstances in your life that you are feeling crippled under and it's keeping you from being who you've been called to be in Christ? And maybe this morning what you need is you need prayer for encouragement to step out as he is leading you. To say, this is something God's calling me to do. This is something God's placed on my heart. This is something I know I should be doing, a way I should be living, but I've been so afraid to actually follow through and surrender and do it. If that's you today, maybe when we have this time of invitation, maybe you need to find a leader and just ask him to pray that courage over you. You need to confess that, saying, I've been called to this and I've been unfaithful to do it as I've been called to. So would you help me to repent and turn to it, whatever God's calling me? But what is it in your life today? Where is your faith this morning? What is God calling you to do? How will we not let this Thanksgiving season just slip by as just a time for us to feel warm and feel good, but to actually be willing and able to give thanks to God no matter the circumstance you're in? Because he's faithful in it. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for examples of Paul and Timothy, who are faithful in such difficult situations, who are faithful to the very end. And Lord, they were faithful. They could be faithful. They could give thanks in whatever circumstance, because of your provision of faith, because of your provision over fear. Lord, would that be true in our lives? Lord, would we rest in the reality that we can have a relationship with you, that we can have the power of the living God inside of us, strengthening us, giving us self-control, moving us in love. And God, will we be a people that are marked by that in our lives? Lord, I pray this morning for the people who are here. Maybe there's somebody who does not have faith this morning, and they need to have faith. They need to surrender their life to you, and today is that call. God, would you give them the courage to step out in faith? Lord, for the believer here today, who maybe there's a way you've been calling them to move forward in action, and they've remained in inaction because of fear. God, would you give them the courage to turn back to you and move forward as you call? And would you see it change us? Transform us. Give us the courage to be who you've called us to be. In the name of your son, Jesus, I would pray all these things. Amen.